I want to share with you a little bit, just for a short while this morning. And before I do, I just want to say, hi, Dan. It's good to see you. Can we give Dan a big round of applause? It's really good to see you, Dean. And you're looking well. All right, so, okay, this thing just jumping ahead of me. I want to talk to you a little bit about fatherhood qualities. Okay, it's Father's Day. And I just want to share with you a little bit. About some of the qualities. You've already listed quite a lot. I'm just going to share with you a few little bit more qualities regarding Father's Day. Then I'm going to do something a little bit different. I've got an object. I'm going to sort of give an object lesson on fathers, okay, and fatherhood and the importance of that. So let's just start off. A lot of people look and they think that they view fathers as a Rambo-style figure, someone who is a macho image, you know, ready to do whatever. Maybe not with guns, but, you know, the macho image is there. Some other people view fathers, someone that's lying around and who, as a father, is someone who expects things to be done for him. And other people view fatherhood as super dad. Super dad can do everything. There's nothing he cannot do. He's the answer and solution to everything. Other people view fathers as a financial resource, as a father's bank, so to speak. And they expect fathers to pay for everything that is to be done. That is some views. I know it's not yours, but there's some views of people out there when they think of fathers or fatherhood. Now, a woman called Jane Addams, she was an American settlement activist. She was a reformer. She was a social worker, a sociologist, a public administrator, and she was also an author. Quite a few titles she had. In 1911, she wrote, "Poor father has been left out in the cold. He doesn't get much recognition. It would be a good thing if he had a day that would mean recognition of him." And so, after she said these words, 61 years later, President Richard Nixon signed a bill that became law, which brought in Father's Day as a national public holiday. Okay? So if you look on the internet, you'll see, and I've done this in the past, you'll see that there are several different sources, if you like, or stories of the origin of Father's Day. But this is one of them, and I believe this one is a good one. Now, there are four types of families, okay? Four types of families. Number one, a patriarchal family. That's the family where the father leads. There's a matriarchal family. This is the family where the woman leads. There's a democratic family where anyone leads, vote of the moment. And there's also the dysfunctional family where no one leads. Now, before I go any further, I'm going to go into my object lesson. But before I go any further, I want to say this. That many families today, it's the woman who leads. Okay? And let me just say this plain and straight. God bless you. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay? There's nothing wrong with that. Okay, with a woman leading because the man is absent for one reason or another. And there are a variety of reasons. I just want to make that very, very clear. But I also need to make clear from Scripture that of the four different types of families, the one that God has ordained and put into place, okay, is the, you tell me, which one is it? Patriarchal. Of course it is. And there are loads of Scriptures that prove that. The patriarchal father family is the, or the patriarchal father is the family is the family that God has instituted. God desires to have, okay, operating in families. But of course, as I just said a while ago, not every family has a father. And God bless mothers like that because they're playing dual roles and doing a very good job, a lot of them. Okay? And the strain and the pressure, I won't even begin to go there. So hats off to ladies today, women today who are playing both roles, okay, in families. And God is watching, God is seeing. And God will strengthen and will encourage you here. If you're here today, God will encourage you and give you the wisdom and give you the strength that He knows that you need. Why? Because He loves you. Alright? So don't forget that. Alright? Now, let me go to my bag. I want you to bear with me as I seek to do something. And I hope this actually works. So I was thinking about this on, Pastor Joel was supposed to do this, and then I said, okay, we came back from Jamaica, and we said, okay, Father's Day, we need to do something. What's going to happen? And one thing became to another. I was going to do an object lesson, but then I think it turned into a bit of a wordy thing. So I said to myself, let me just do this, okay? And Pastor Joel can just lead the service. So that's what's happened today. All right, so let's have a look at this. Workers together, the family unit. On your screen, you're going to see a family of 22 people. All right? 22. You've got the dad, you've got the mom, and you've got 20 children. All right? And here they are. Oops, I just dropped dad. Sorry, dad. All right, so. So, yeah, make sure the family. No, we speak life. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise from the dead. Matriarchal, patriarchal. He's back. All right, now, bear with me, okay? Please, bear with me. I'm not doing this for a gimmicky thing. I'm doing this to bring across spiritual points. I'm going to end with some scriptures. But I hope you understand and I hope you get this from what I'm saying today. Now, this is a large family. Maybe larger than the average sad family today. But the father is a key figure in the family, okay? And that's this ratchet here, okay? Now, where there's a father and there's a mother, they work together. So, if I can get the lady, that's it. Binding together with her husband, okay? And then, of course, we have the 20 children. Each of these children are different. Each are unique. Each one of these can do something that other children cannot do. And you need to teach this to your children if you're not already doing so. In a world with 8 billion people, every single one of us are unique. There is nobody like you anywhere else in the world. And so our children need to know that they are valued, that they are unique, that they don't have to conform to the standards of the world out there, but they should conform to the Word of God, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Alright, so if I should take out one of these kids, which one? Who's coming? Right, this one, his name is minus 7. So if I take out minus 7, if he will come out, see, I'm stubborn. Alright, he's out. Uniquely stubborn? I don't know. But anyway, the father, okay, connects with the mother. Mother connects with the child. So together, they can both. I was going to bring wood and all that, but I said I won't bother do that because I've got here some screens coming up. So let me go to the next one. All right, 20 children, workers together. But look at this one. We see them working together, okay, in love and unity. And that's what's necessary in every family. And fathers, I'm focusing on you today because you play a pivotal role, okay? You're connected to the mom, both of you connected to one another, and you can help the child accomplish anything that they want to accomplish in life, if they listen. All right? So, workers together, they're able to express love, and love is expressed in unity. And that's what we see here. When it's unity, then everything works perfectly and in order. Are you following me?
Yeah.
All right, good. Working together to get the job done, whatever the job might be. Now, this child can do something that maybe these other kids can't do. But the parents would recognize that, and they would use each one accordingly, you know, according to their skills, help them to develop and to see where they fit into the world, and to help them realize the gifts and the talents that God has given them, okay, so that they can go forward. Now, let's have a look at something else. Okay, the family unit, okay, is able to bring healing, bring repair, where necessary, whether it's on an individual or out there in society or maybe even at school, or at home, they're able to bring whatever is needed so that they can function together to get the job done. Transparent functions in the operation of life. And if we look at another picture, we see something else. They're able to bring repairs, they're able to bring corrections. Okay? The family unit God has designed, able to bring corrections where needed. Not necessarily and always to the family unit itself, but outside of the family unit, just like this picture here is showing. Okay? Unselfish diligence in getting the job done. They are or able to do it because they're operating in order. Alright? They're able to bring change by working together. They're able to remove whatever needs to be removed from society or from life or from the home, wherever, or from their mindsets. They're able to remove it and replace it, okay, by working together. Each one using their own skills, but harnessed in such a way that the job can get done. Change is a must as we live in a changing world. Okay? Genuine spirituality and not pretense and not fake. Because if we take one of these okay, and try to put it in, if I take the flat one, a big flat one, and try to fit it in that, it won't work because it's too big, or maybe too small, or maybe a different design. It doesn't fit. And so we have to find what fits within the family unit and work together to make progress, to make change, to make repairs. Everybody with me so far? Yeah. All right. Now, what do you notice? Okay. In all of the pictures I've showed you, did you notice there's something that's there that's common in all of them? Thank you. That's my next screen. The hand. And the hand that is on the Father is God Himself. So as God has His hand on the Father, and the Father connects to the Mother, as is supposed to happen in a loving, unified way, okay, they can get the job done. As the family units cooperate together with the Father as the leader, submitting to the authority of God, they can get the job done. Now notice something. If I put this down here, okay, my hand is off it. Guess what? This can't function. Do you see that? The Father cannot function the way that God wants Him to function to fulfill purpose. And so for that to happen, God's hand must be on who? The Father. And so the Father has to be submitted. You know the woman's role, I'm not going into this because we're going to go into relationships in September. We have some visiting speakers coming. And I want to do a preparatory work to build up to that so that our relationships can be strengthened and can be strong, because that's what's needed in a trying world. I don't know about you, but I really sense and I see more and more where there's so much pressure coming up on the family. Has anybody else noticed that? I mean, in the last year maybe, a lot of pressure that's come up on the family for one reason or another. Even this morning, you know, where our family's getting news, more pressure on the family unit. But this is what I want to share with you today. It's so important, okay, that the hand of the Lord is on fathers, but that can only happen if fathers are submitted to God and submitted to the authority and to the people that God has placed around them as well. If we read the book of Ephesians, you just don't read about the importance of the woman submitting to the man, but the importance of also the man submitting to the woman. Okay? Because that's important to get the job done. Now, the father, by the way, can function. One of these can go inside. The father can connect to the child without the mother being there. Alright? But there are certain times, certain places, certain situations where the mother is needed. Okay? So the mother connects to the father, the children connects to the mother, and everything functions properly as is. But the hand of God will always be on the father and the mother as well, but for the illustration purposes, the father. But only if the father is submitted to God. If you don't know God, then this doesn't apply. It does not apply. You need to have a relationship with God. And you need to be submitted to the authority of God's word and what God has placed around you. Let's look at some scriptures and then we'll close. Very important scriptures coming up. John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. Look, listen to what it says. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Wow, did you hear that? Wow, no one is going to snatch you, fathers, out of his hand. This is Jesus speaking. But listen to what it goes on to say. My Father, that's Jesus speaking, and he's talking now about Father God, okay, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I'm telling you today, I don't think you're clear because your amen is a very weak. Okay? Once you are submitted to God and God's hand is on you, it's the safest place to be. And Jesus is saying, not only have I got you in my hand, but the Father has you in his hand. Man, I'm telling you that God is watching over you. So the more I, as a father, submit to God, the more God watches over me, the more we, our relationship develops, we can communicate, we can hear one another, and I will know how to function. And let me do a little sidestep here, okay? Because the Bible teaches us clearly that the woman is a helpmeet for the man. You know what that means? The woman is the person that God has selected or made or ordained to be beside the man if you're in a marital context, okay? To help the man meet his needs in God. And really, that's what the woman is after. She wants not to bicker. Well, most don't, right? Don't look just to bicker. But they want you as a man, as a father, to function in the role, in the capacity that she knows intrinsically that you ought to function in. Because she knows that once your needs are met in God, then everything flows down through her, through the children, through the family unit. All she wants is for you to do what God says you should be doing. Ladies, am I right?
Yes.
Let me go on. So it's a good place to be in the Father's hand. But listen to this. Listen to this one. Listen to this verse. Isaiah 49 and verse 16. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Wow. I mean, wow. Okay, it's one thing, God having us in his hand. He said here, see, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. I'll talk about walls now in a minute. But let me stick on this a little bit. I have inscribed you. That's almost like a mark, an engraving, a tattoo, whatever you want to do. God doesn't, you know, the Lord doesn't like tattoos and so forth. But here he's saying, I love you so much. I care about you so much. And you're in my mind so much that I've inscribed you on my head. And we stop and think about that. That's a tremendous thing. To know that God loves me so much, he's inscribed me on his hand. Wherever God goes, he's got you inscribed. That's good news, man. That's good news. Right? Now listen, your walls are continually before me. I've inscribed you on my hands, and he sees the walls. He sees the difficulties. He sees the challenges that you have. Fathers, he sees your challenges and he knows, and he's saying, hey, don't forget, he's saying to you now today, don't forget, I got you, Jesus speaking, and my Father's got you in his hands, but I've also got you inscribed on my hand, okay? And even though I've got you inscribed on my hands, I see the walls, I see the obstacles, I see the mountains that are before you, but I'm with you. Let me tell you something, one man, one woman with God is a majority. And God will help you and take you through those challenges. But you've got to hold tight to his hand. As he's inscribed you on his hand, you've got to hold his hand. And I tell you something, the Father will never let you go. The problem is on our side. Sometimes we let God go. Our problems become so much, we forget the word, we forget prayer, we forget fellowship. We even forget to stand up and to say something that's good. That's what I said to Pastor Joy, don't force anybody. Shouldn't be forced. Don't force anybody to say anything. It should come naturally. I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands, and your walls are continually before me. Now, if God says the walls are continually before me, let me ask you a question. What do you think are going to happen to those walls? Yeah. They're going to come down. Is anything too hard for the Lord? So the safest place to be once again is in the hands of God. Let me show you another scripture. Isaiah 41:13. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. He sees your challenges. He knows what you're going through. And he's saying, don't fear. I'll hold your hand. Even as I hold this ratchet, so the Father has his hand on you fathers that have submitted to him, that know him as your personal Lord and Savior. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 11 and 12. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And this is Paul talking. And Paul was talking as a spiritual father. Thank God for natural fathers. But never forget there are spiritual fathers praying over you, watching over you, counseling you, teaching you. And here he was saying, as you know, we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father charges his children, that you walk worthy. And that's a charge that goes out from this pulpit every single week. We need to walk worthy. We need to walk according to the word. We need to walk not according to our own abilities or according to the flesh or according to what systems are demanding of us out there. No, you walk according to what God says and according to what God desires. Can I get a loud amen?
Amen.
All right. So, last scripture. And I'm finished. 1 Corinthians 9:24. And this is what I'm ending with. Do you not know, Paul again speaking, that they which run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Well, run in such a way that you may obtain. Fathers, I want to end by saying this to you today. Okay? Run, walk, live your life. Okay? Deliberately. In a way that pleases God. And run in a way, okay, that you will obtain the prize that is ahead of you. Because never forget that, you know, there is coming a day here on this earth, but also in the future, where you will be rewarded according to what you have done. According to the responsibilities that you have done, that you have, and if you've lived up to them. According to your obedience to God's word, his calling, and the gifts that he's given you in your life, that you're using them for the glory of God, and not for just leaving them and letting them just be there, exist. Okay? Run, because reward day is coming. Yeah, the challenges are here. The difficulties are here. But I want to remind you again, God has you in his hand. God is holding your hand. God is with you. And through the difficulties and the challenges, God will help you. In Jesus' name. Bow your heads in prayer for me, please.